I'm Coach Tony Cotillo, taking you on this adventure, understanding there are people out in this world, whether it be parents or children, that need our help in a world of youth sports. And through stories and through articles and interviews, we are trying to be that platform that allows people the help that they need in a no judgment zone. Let's use our platform for something good. And we want to expose the good and the bad, because I have a ton of bad experiences I would love to talk about, because when I talk about them, a lot of people tell me, you know what? That happened to me. I thought I was the only one. And come to find out, no, it happened to me as well. So every single week, what we want to do is we want to take a specific topic. And most of these topics, I can tell you right now, have come from the audience. I have a big Facebook audience that I have polled numerous times. You know, what would we like to talk about? You know, I'm a big wrestling fan, so it sounds like a little Cody Rhodes kind of, hey, what do you want to talk about if you're a WWE guy? But I looked at all of these, and I picked out most of them that I thought I could relate to first. Meaning, let me tell you a story based on this topic. Again, make sure you like and subscribe to the show. It's going to be everywhere. If you're listening live right here on Podbean, this is my all new experiment here. Okay, I've never used Podbean Live, trying it for the first time. This will be podcasted as well on all the major platforms, as well as Podbean, right? And if you're using the Podbean app, you can listen to it live right there whenever you're walking or you're working out or wherever you're at. To debut episode one, I need to ask a question. And the question is, what happens when you love the sport that you play, but you're not good enough to play with your friends? This is a huge topic. It's huge. And it's something I personally dealt with. Okay? And I'm going to tell that story in a minute. But, you know, we talk about what sports are made to be in the beginning. Remember, honestly, in the beginning. Now, I have a ton of experience coaching. I'm talking 20 years, okay? And I was honestly never about the win. It sounds crazy, okay? But I wasn't, because I knew that if you created the culture and you created the program, the wins would follow. But most importantly, I preached all the time, memories and moments. What kind of memories can we get as a youth sports team? What kind of moments can we get as a team together? And I cherish them, and I think about them all the time. And that's why I say, obviously, playing sports is supposed to enable you to create these friendships. You otherwise may not afford it. That just not goes for the player. That goes for the parents as well. Because parents consistently create and form a partnership. You hear the word all the time, takes a village. Hear it all the time. And it's, and rightfully so. It does. It takes a village. And that's one of the most important things I think that we have to talk about, is where did we go wrong as society to where, unfortunately, that didn't matter anymore? When competition shows out, you could be left out wondering where to go next. And that happened to me, happened to my daughter. And I want to discuss that situation, because it most likely probably happened to you as well. So again, what happens when you love the sport that you play, but you're not good enough to play with your friends? When youth athletes don't fit in. I'm going to go back probably about 12 years. I'm going to go about 12 years, and it was my first introduction to competitive softball. I coached with a really good friend of mine, and I coached in Bucks County for Southampton, Our name was the Southampton Blazers. And just so you know, when, you know, a lot of these stories, these are just 100% I'm being fully transparent when I name names, and whether it's a good story or a bad story, listen, it happened. So it gives me the right to be able to explain to you who, what, where, and why, right? So that's what I plan to do. So I played for my daughter. I didn't play, obviously. If I played, it'd be a problem. My daughter played for Southampton Blazers. Now, that was her first taste of competitive softball. Moved up into Bucks County in 2009. You know, when I lived in the city of Philadelphia, my daughter played for Calvary. And she played 1 year, right? It was like, Dad, I want to play softball. She was 8 years old. I said, okay, great. You know, it sounds good to me. She was always into cheerleading, but she wanted to play softball. So, you know, I love it. My first child, go out, get the glove, get ready, right? Practice. Sign her up for, you know, intramural, in-house, whatever you want to call it. Stuff that probably doesn't exist nowadays. We'll get about that on another show. And just let her feel what softball is all about. Understand, you know, work through her indiscrepancies and, you know, work through her challenges as not only a player, but as a person. Listen, you know, girls are a different animal. I say that all the time. You know, the emotional roller coaster, you know, of a young girl is astronomical. It is. It's up and down, up and down, up and down. They deal with more than we even realize. And I could say that because, you know, the best thing is, you know, for me is luckily I always wanted to be my daughter's best friend. And I said, I want my daughter to be able to tell me everything, whether I like it or not, because there's only one guy in the world that's ever going to be honest with your daughter. And that's going to be you as a dad. Right? You think about it. You are not able to trust any other male to your daughter except yourself. Let's be honest. And I wanted to be that guy. And luckily it worked and I was that guy. I'm still that guy till this day. And I'm proud to say that. So she had a good first year and everything kind of went smooth. You know, it was a weird situation. I wound up playing. And one of the coaches wound up being a person I knew in high school, which is, listen, small world, right? It happens. And then we decided to move. And we moved to the suburbs, and I know absolutely nobody. So first thing I do is I sign Taylor up for Southampton. And somebody calls me and says, hey, we're going to do a draft or something. I said, what? Like, what do you mean a draft? I said, am I in the right league? The guy's like, oh, yeah. I was like, are you sure? Because my daughter's only 9 years old. She just picked up a glove. Like, I'm not sure. We have a draft? Like, am I supposed to dress up? Like, I asked all these questions because I never heard of anything like that. I'm thinking, what is the big deal, right? I mean, is it that crazy that we have to draft these kids at the in-house level? So right there blew my mind, right? I was already, you know, to the point where I start thinking like, Jesus, God, like what did I get myself into here? So, you know, long story short, luckily, of course, she was the last one picked, right? Because nobody knew who she was. So remember, you know, there right away is the politics, right? Like, so nobody knows who she is. So nobody's going to pick her. She could be a great player, could be a bad player, could be a great person, could be a bad player. Who knows? But nobody's going to pick her because, unfortunately, they don't know who she is. And most likely they don't know who her dad is or who her mom is or who her friends are, because that's how that all works, right? You know, everybody's got to know somebody. That's the way that works. So luckily she winds up on a fantastic team that allows me to help, which was great because it's what I always wanted to do. But here's the funny thing. I never played softball. Never studied softball. Man, I studied my ass off that year to find out the proper way and proper technique to throw a ball, to hit a ball, you know, the proper rules. Because, I knew that my daughter was liking this sport, and I knew I wanted to go ahead with this because I liked Coach Rich and I liked the team, and I was like, listen, man, this is going to be a great experience. I'm going to make this a great experience, and it was, and it was. You know, we decided after, you know, well, I should say Rich decided there. How's he saying, you know, the girls are starting younger and younger, you know, in travel. But it wasn't this hardcore travel. We had something called the Suburban League. And it was an alternative to the teams that were, you know, on another level, that were up in this competitive travel, every weekend travel, going to different countries travel, right? You know, spending thousands and thousands of dollars. So it was alternative. So I was like, wow, this sounds pretty cool. So it was a Suburban Travel League. So, you know, we get the team together and we join. And I'll tell you what, man, we had a fantastic 2 years. It was great. So many memories of those girls, of that team, parents, relationships that created a lifetime of friendships. My daughter created a lifetime of friendships. But here's the thing. So as we started to play, girls obviously started to get better because we were training harder. We were practicing harder, right? So a lot of the stuff that we were doing was just making them better. We could see it. It was very apparent that these girls were growing on another level. Well, my daughter at that time wound up being one of the better hitters on the team. She really worked it, but you know, the funny thing is, you know, puberty is a crazy thing, right? One day you're the tallest kid in the room. A year later, you're the smallest. So at the time, you know, my daughter was a big girl. She was very, like, she was tall. And she was playing center on a basketball team. And full transparency, right now, she's only 5'4", right? But at that time, she hit that growth spurt before everybody else. So she had some power, and she was hitting the crap out of the ball. She was doing well. And she really just started developing arm at third base. And she was, you know, listen, she was erratic at times. She's 10, 11 years old at this time, right? So she was erratic at that time. So she was trying to work, that we were working through it. She started to catch, right? Started to do different positions. So what happens is, listen, and there's no love lost here, in the sense that I have no hard feelings. It all worked out for everybody. But, you know, at the time, you know, Rich comes to me and says, hey, listen, I just want to tell you that I'm going to take my daughter to the Horse on Banshees and try out. You should come with me. I said, who are the Horse on Banshees? I had no idea who that was. And again, because I'm not following this to the extent that a lot of people were. And, oh, man, it's this great travel team. They go all over. They do this. They do that. But no, unbeknownst to myself, you know, I thought, okay, it's just like what we had. Maybe just a little better. So I take Taylor's, my daughter. She goes with Rich's daughter, who's her best friend. And they go and try out. Now, at that time, from an all-around player standpoint, Rich's daughter was the best player on our team. Okay, she did everything. She hit, she fielded, she pitched, she did it all. Very, very good athlete. So I already knew, right, that, you know, odds were already stacked against my daughter if it was going to be her and her. But I just thought that this was a complete tryout that she would go to. And I figured, you know what, Rich isn't going to have me send me somewhere where he doesn't think it's, you know, something's going to happen. So long story short, my daughter didn't have the best tryout. And here's where the anxiety comes into play, right? So all she knew was that if her friend makes this team, that the team that she loves and the team that she enjoys playing on is going to go away. So right in her mind, she's thinking, where am I going to fit in if I don't make this team? So she's already putting this extreme amount of pressure on herself. And listen, let's be honest. You're 11 years old, man. Like, I say this all the time. Like, we're really forcing these kids to be so much older than they are. 11 years old, and she's, listen, she missed a couple throws. And And I'm going to be honest with you, man. Like, I remember. I remember there was, again, you know, it gets a little crazy. You got people standing all over the place, and everybody wants to get an ear in to the coach. You know, hey, introduce myself. You know, you know how this works, right? And at that time, I'm just learning, right? I'm just learning. I can speak to it now, and I'm just learning. And like I said, if your son or daughter is 8 years old right now, you're listening to this program, I can tell you right now 100% that get ready. It's a full-blown competition on the sideline as well as the field. So the first tryout, now you have to go to two tryouts. The first tryout, my daughter cried almost the whole way home. Talked about she wasn't good enough. She doesn't understand. What, you know, why would I bring her to a tryout to a team that she doesn't fit in with? And listen, it was, like I said, it was a roller coaster. And right away I'm thinking, man, we just went in literally like in a 36-hour span. We went from having the time of our lives to not knowing where we fit in. And I say we because it's an experience, right? This is an experience. This is an experience for the parent as well as the player. So we think about, where did we fit in? Where are we going to go if this doesn't work? But now my biggest thing is I have to worry about my daughter and the way she feels and the anxiety that she's going through and the stress that she's putting herself through. So here's where I'd say things happen that really suck, okay? So before she goes to the tryout, the coach calls me and says, hey, Tony, I'd like to get a look at Taylor. Do you think she could guest play with us? You know, we have a tournament at home and, you know, maybe she could play, you know, a couple games with us and we can see her live action. So I'm thinking, wow, this is pretty cool, man. I would love to do that. I said to Taylor, she's all pumped, right? She's pumped. She's like, oh, man, this is great. Now, again, being a newbie here, I've been in a competitive softball market for about a year, right? And I don't know anything about the Horseshoe Banshees. I know nothing about these tournaments. I know nothing. All I know is she's going to try to play at a different level and try to catch some eyes, you know, for one of the tryouts. So we get there. And right away, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm looking at the caliber of these teams. And I'm already thinking, wow, this is going to be rough, right? Because you're a parent, you know, right? You know, and I feel like, man, did I already set my daughter up for failure? And I hate to say that, but I did. I felt like that. I mean, come on. If you're listening to this program, you can't tell me you've never felt like that as a parent, right? So that's the first thing I'm thinking. So I'm like, okay, look, the girl's going to get in. They're probably going to give her a bat, play a couple innings, see how she looks. So we get through the first couple innings. You know, and I can already tell I'm sitting on the sideline and I can tell you right now that the sideline, man, these people are getting nuts. The parents are getting crazy because they're losing, right? So now that I know this is a team that expects to win every single time. This is a team that expects these fantastic plays. And God forbid if another kid messes up. And I'm thinking, God, please don't let that be my daughter. Because not only am I going to lose it, right? But I'm going to lose it because what I'm going to do is I'm going to hear them. And I'm going to see her. And I'm going to lose it because I'm going to know what she's feeling. And I'm going to hear what they're saying. And then we're going to have a problem. So I'm sitting on the bleachers. And don't you know, a couple girls on base goes out. Ball out to the outfield, goes right to my... Now, my daughter has made, again, play after play after play. I felt so bad. Felt terrible. First thing I hear is somebody go, who's that girl out there playing? Why is she out there? Ah, man. And I'm like, man, just walk away. And I'm thinking, man, this sucks. Like, again, my world is just turned upside down. And now a span, we go from 36 hours to probably 48 hours, 72 hours, so to speak, right? So now I feel terrible, right? I feel terrible. So she comes in, and again, coach was cool, players were okay until she got up to the plate and she struck out. Now I hear people talking. I saw a couple of girls laughing. I actually saw a parent go up to the coach, basically pointing at my daughter and asking, who is she and why is she here? Right there, I said, this is not the place for me. Not the place for me. And you know what? I have no regrets. When that game was over, I took my daughter, who was devastated, who was apologizing. I said, don't you dare apologize. Don't you dare apologize. You have nothing to apologize about. I'm going to apologize. I should have known this was not the place for you. And I apologized at that time because I felt horrible that I put my daughter in a situation that turned out like this. Coach came up and was like, hey, thinking about tomorrow, we met, and I knew where he was getting. I said, you know what, man? I'm going to stop you right there. Just take her name out. I know you probably did it already, but she's not interested. This is not for her. And we got in the car, and the first thing she said to me was, Dad, where am I going to play? Because she had found out that her best friend had already made the team. And before that game, my buddy told me, she was straight up with me and let me know he's going to accept it. And I, listen, good for him, right? So I said, good for him. And I said that because my thing is, listen, you don't want to hold somebody back. That's the thing. You don't want to hold somebody back. And I'm glad he didn't because he had a great experience. I just didn't have a good one. So I asked the question, what happens when you love the sport and you're not good enough to play with your friends? That was a huge situation that I had to deal with, and I had to scramble for it. Because now, where is my daughter going to play? How do I continue to keep her upbeat? How do I continue to keep her mental stability in a positive place? And luckily at that time, there was another organization in Warminster that was starting to form, a suburban travel team. And they welcomed me on. Taylor had some friends on that team. And again, we made some fantastic memories. But I bring this up because I ask a bunch of questions with this. And again, if you're tuning in, if you're listening to this live, if you're listening to this on replay, let me know, have you had these experiences before? How did you cope with them? That's one of the biggest things. Are you dealing with that situation right now? Do you need help with that situation? I could tell you what I did. I could tell you how I worked around, what was going on. I could tell you what I started to look at, figure out where I could go, how I did my research. But most importantly, how to keep my daughter above water. Okay? Because she came up here, she became friends, she met friends, she played, she loved it, and all of a sudden, poof. And that was the biggest problem. How do I get her back on track? Because not only did she lose her friend, not only did she lose her team, but now she lost her confidence. Because she went and she thought she was this great player. And I still think she was this great player, right? But in her mind, she thought she was this great player that she's not. And even though I know it was bullshit, the problem is she didn't know that. And I had to be her advocate. I had to be there for her. And I had to explain to her, what do we do next? And I had to say, Taylor, listen to me. You're not always going to be the best player on a team. Right? When you think about that, you're not always going to be the best player on a team. You're going to find your role. You're going to find your spot. But if you don't feel comfortable with a coach, with the kids, with the system, by all means, there's no reason to stick it out. You have to think about you. Because guess what? If you're uncomfortable, you become unplayable. Right? Think about that. If you're uncomfortable, you become unplayable. Because you're not going to be able to play if you're not comfortable. It's simple. But that's the problem right now. No, everything is so competitive. The competition is next level. It's not slowing down at all. It's not. And, you know, I look at those leagues that I was in at that time, and they're non-existent. There is no more suburban travel league. There is no more intramural for the most part. It's a shell of itself because everybody uses that competition because everybody feels as though they have to go to that next level. They have to go to that next level. Where, guess what? Maybe their child doesn't even want to go to that level. They feel like that's the only way that, unfortunately, they're going to fit in. That's the only way they're going to be able to have an opportunity. And that's one of the biggest things about this topic is, you know, what happens when you feel like you don't have an opportunity? What happens when you do feel left out? What if you're the one player on the team that decides not to go and everybody else goes and now you feel all alone? What happens? See, that's one of the biggest issues, and that's why I start this show. And again, this is the debut episode of Fighting for Overtime, addressing anxiety and achievements in youth sports, because we are going to talk about the good and the bad. I am Coach Tony. Okay, Coach Tony Cotillo, that is my name. You can follow me at Rise with Tony on X, on Instagram. But I've coached for 20 plus years, and I've seen so many of these situations. And when I originally wanted to start this movement, I'm going to call it this youth sports program, I basically just wanted to talk about my stories and explain what had happened. But then I realized this whole mental health angle to it, because those situations put me into therapy because I took them to heart and I took them so personal that I started to question myself and my abilities because I felt like I failed at times to put my kids through this, even though it wasn't my fault. But I didn't give them the opportunity to cope. I didn't put them in a right situation, I felt, at that time. And I think I speak to a lot of you out there, because I think a lot of you felt or feel the same way. But like I continue to say, you're not alone. You are not alone in this battle. And this is a battle. Youth sports is a fight. And you're going to be in overtime fighting and crawling to get to that next step. But again, think about what happens in this situation. Think about what would you do in this situation? Because I'm telling you right now, no matter what sport you play, if you're a parent and your child, whether it be a girl or a boy, no matter what the sport is, this is a situation you will deal with at one time. And are you ready to deal with it? Are you ready to hit it head on? And that's the most important thing. When athletes don't fit in, on this episode, Fighting for Overtime, addressing anxiety and achievements in youth sports, everybody make sure you subscribe. Everybody make sure you like. And remember, you are not alone. Any questions? We are here. We are here to help in a no judgment zone as we grow this show together.